This is the Lindy's Football Report. The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Shotgun snap, blitz coming. Hayner for the corner.
Caught, Crawford.
Touchdown, Fresno State. And with 14 seconds left in the Rose Bowl, the Bulldogs once again have recaptured the lead.
Woo! Wallace is in that group over there. Throws over the middle, caught, 30, Strange, 20, far sideline, 15, 10 to the 5, and inside the 5, and taken down to the 3. First and goal in the Del Croce Sauce red zone for the Nittany Lions.
Two-point conversion try. The running back, and he'll get to the 1, and he is stopped. He is stopped. Alabama holds.
In memory of the artist formerly known as Prince, you are officially allowed to go crazy. That is, if you haven't already. After another weekend of wild endings, controversial calls, a few upsets, might be time to take a step back and reevaluate the college football landscape. And I think we should start at the top, Michael.
No team's unbeatable, Graham, every week. I'm not going to use that oblong football. You know, that shape is funny. It takes a lot of funny bounces. But you know, for instance, Alabama, number one team, everybody had already given them the championship, I think, after the first week. There's a lot of season left, and this team is not last year's team, nor is Clemson, nor is Ohio State, nor is Oklahoma or anybody else. So it's still a lot of unknown. But I will say this, Alabama is held to a standard based on what we've seen lately as a playoff team, as these other teams I just mentioned. Their win, though it didn't look pretty, it was a win. It's in the swamp. This was a top 10 team. It's a good team they played and beat. And they got out of there somehow to skate with a W, and they've got to be pleased at least that they did that.
Apparently style points do matter when it's all said
and done. But they're still number one with a bullet.
Right.
They didn't really lose any ground. Now, I've seen these other teams are dropping in the AP. Each one of them all won as well, and each one of them dropped. Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State.
Interesting, and we'll keep an eye on those as we go through. Well, take your pick of any game last weekend, and chances are there was a controversial call or two. But a couple may have stood out more so than others. Start in Memphis, where a punt was returned for a touchdown by the Tigers against Mississippi State. After the Bulldogs, the punting team, had touched the ball, Memphis return man Calvin Austin picked up the loose ball, raced 94 yards for the score. The problem: an official raised his arms to signal the end of the play before Austin's return. The touchdown stood, causing the expected reaction from MSU fans. Mike Leach was asked about the call.
The ball's live. Just because you touch it, usually they whistle it, you know. We got to pick it up and hand it to the ref.
The ref was motioning for the play was dead. Did they give you any kind of explanation for that?
Did they call the play dead?
The guy right behind the play was motioning.
So he did call the play dead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he waved it. Yep. Well, we'll have to look at that on film, and maybe some others will too.
And then in Happy Valley, Penn State lost a down in a sequence of plays against Auburn. Apparently, SEC officials lost track after a grounding call, which is a loss of down penalty, and took away a snap. The ruling was reviewed, and the loss of the down was upheld. Penn State coach James Franklin didn't hide his feelings after the game.
That sequence where they seem to take a play away from you.
They seem? What'd you think?
Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
You don't have to be diplomatic. So I want you to say it.
They took a play away from you. Did you communicate with the officials?
I talked to all of them.
And they said what?
They all agreed on the call, and so did the replay. They all agreed. And I kept bringing them over and saying, it's not accurate. I don't know what else I can tell you, but they all concurred, all the officials. They got the headset, they talked to each other, they all agreed. They ran it by replay, they agreed as well. I don't know what else I can do or what else I can say.
Despite that response, James Franklin, a happy guy. They beat Auburn, but there were some egregious calls on both sides in that game. And then, of course, the punt return. We can go for 30 minutes on that one.
It wasn't a good weekend for the SEC because they were the officials in both these games. These were visiting SEC teams, and they had the assignments. And they fell flat on their face. That's what happened, unfortunately, for them. But I mean, he even had to issue a release admitting error in the call in the Memphis-Mississippi State game. We have replay for a reason. Let's use it when we can. Let's be speedy in finding the right call if we can and move on. That's why we have it. Let's get it right, though.
Yeah, the big no-no for me, you can't miss getting the down right. That's easy to correct. Should be anyway.
And I still go back to that Colorado game back in the early 90s when they got that fifth down. And forevermore, they'll be known for winning a national championship when maybe it shouldn't have happened because they got an extra play.
But it's also not fair to Colorado because that's what it's remembered for, because they won the national championship.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, while we're asking questions about officiating, we might ask a few about some of the perennial favorites that are struggling. On top of that list, the Clemson Tigers, who have been almost non-existent offensively since their opening season loss to Georgia. The Tigers are currently next to last in the ACC in scoring with just two touchdowns against Division I opponents. The Tigers face NC State this week in the deemed Textile Bowl in Raleigh, where the Tigers might need to stitch up a little offense. Head coach Dabo Swinney has a few answers for the Tigers' problems.
It's just been a weird deal. And last week was an incredibly, strange challenge, kind of ambushed a little bit, but we found a way. And when you got young players that are very inexperienced, next thing you know, if you're not sure, then what goes out the window is your fundamentals, your technique, Now, the effort is very good, but it's effort with technique is what leads to execution.
Not only is Clemson the shocker at the bottom of the scoring rankings in that conference, they're joined by Florida State and Miami. These are the bell cows.
Supposed to be, and you got to think they're going to get better. Dabo is known for prolific offenses while at Clemson, but what he's had is Deshaun Watson, and he's had Trevor Lawrence, two of the great quarterbacks in college football history. Uiagalelei, unfortunately, has not lived up to that. He's got a long way to go to get there. But he's not alone. This team should have no trouble with Georgia Tech. It should have no trouble with NC State this weekend. They're just better, period, across the board. Not sure what's happening. If they don't get it together, though, forget about college football championship talk, for one. I mean, maybe the ACC's not even going to happen for them. They've won that six straight years.
That's an amazing statement in itself. Notre Dame meets Wisconsin for the first time in 57 years in the renewal of the Shamrock Series, who will face off in the Windy City, also known as Chicago. The Irish have a couple of close calls on their list while the Badgers lost their opener to Penn State. If this sounds like an old-fashioned slugfest, it probably is, says Brian Kelly.
Well-coached, smart, disciplined, physical, all the things that we all know about Wisconsin, but they come to light every game you watch them. And so it'll be a great challenge for our football team, one that we're excited about. Again, going to Chicago, playing in Soldiers Field. Chicago's a great base for us and Notre Dame fans. So we're excited about that opportunity and certainly the challenge. And the challenge of playing a very good Wisconsin team.
I think the only thing that'll be missing this weekend is the snowdrifts because it's got that feel.
Yeah, those two teams, when they play, you would think that. Love the setting there in Soldier Field, and that's going to bring out a lot of fans. Obviously, Notre Dame has a nationwide fan base. They also have been a bit on the struggle bus. Will they continue to play that way and win? Not against Wisconsin. They're going to have to bring their A game if they're going to get the job done there. And remember, they were in the playoff last year. It's a team that is in contention every year.
Well, it's been 9 years since Arkansas has beaten Texas A&M. There have been a few close calls, but the Aggies have had the Hogs' number. This meeting has a different look. Both teams are ranked for the first time since 2016, and both are undefeated, a first since 16. The question is, have the Hogs closed the gap on A&M? Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette provides his opinion.
Arkansas is not there yet. I mean, they beat Texas, a great win, but they haven't played a conference game yet, and look at who is not going anywhere. Alabama's not going anywhere. I don't know if A&M is. I mean, there might be a small dip until they can get Haynes King back, but we don't know that. LSU, jury's out. And Mississippi State might be a little down, but Ole Miss looks like a powerhouse. And Auburn got out to that great start. So on a week-to-week basis, for Arkansas to win a game, they have to be very near the top of their game. They cannot have an off game and still beat somebody. Kudos to Sam Pittman for building it to that point. And Arkansas is a hard-hitting team now, and they just didn't have that reputation in the years before that.
I like the physical nature, like what Tom is saying here, of Arkansas. Texas A&M needs to find it and find it in a hurry, or they're going to be wondering about themselves.
Yeah, they are on a 11-game win streak. That's tied with Oklahoma for second overall, only behind Alabama as far as the nation's longest win streaks, and they've got this long stretch of wins against Arkansas. Many of those games have been tight, but they found a way to win. They're the favorite, and to me, what I've seen, Arkansas has looked better so far. So is the wrong team favored? I think it's just based on reputation of late. So watch out.
And one more thing. The first few weeks of the college football polls have delivered plenty of topsy-turvy moments. While Alabama's held the top spot of the AP poll since the season began, there's been plenty of movement amongst the other 24 spots, particularly in the top 10. It started in week one when eight teams went down, five of which were against other ranked opponents. Five more teams lost the following week, and six more teams this past weekend. The 18 losses are the most in the AP top 10 since 1998, when 19 games were dropped by ranked opponents. Compare that to 2019, the last regular poll, where everybody started at the same time. Only seven losses dotted the first 3 weeks of the season. One other note, Clemson and Ohio State, together, have been absent from the top five since week two. That's the first time that's happened since October 15th, 2017, or week seven of the poll, when Ohio State was sixth and Clemson was seventh. This week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week is from Ruston, Louisiana, where the Mustangs of SMU pull off a miraculous win over Louisiana Tech with a 33-yard pass from Tanner Mordecai to Reggie Robinson, Jr. From the Mustangs Radio Network, here's Rich Phillips with a call.
Mordecai flushed out to his left, waiting, firing towards the end zone. There's a receiver there. Ball bounced it! Touchdown, SMU! Oh, my God! 21 caught Reggie Robinson, and the Mustangs are going to win it!
Unbelievable!
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more. Visit uscatfish.com.
College football season is here, and the best place to get great tailgate gear is Academy Sports and Outdoors. Swing by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com, where you can find grills, canopies, portable chairs, and other fan faves for game day glory. Plus, get official team jerseys, shirts, hats, and more, all at prices you'll love. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Drum roll, please. Here's Michael Butler.
It's 10 feet tall and weighs over 500 pounds. No, it's not the size of today's offensive lineman. It's Purdue's big bass drum. The instrument made news last week prior to the Boilermakers game at Notre Dame. Band officials were told that access was denied for the drum due to COVID protocols with a limited gate entry into Notre Dame Stadium.
COVID voided many pieces of college football's pageantry last year, with attendance limitations and the absence of marching bands. Their return is still not quite complete in some cases, at least in South Bend, Indiana. The drum did make the trip, but like Rudy that time, you remember the movie, it didn't have a ticket. The string of halftime appearances was snapped. It dated back to 1979. It'll have to start anew this week, as Purdue is back at home versus Illinois.
It's time for Gridiron, Chef Doc.
Graham, Michael, Lynn, everybody at Lindy's Football, good to be with you for another week. I want to let you know that this week's recipe is inspired by the college football meathead officials that I witnessed this week. Also co-inspired by a Swedish big box retailer who decided to publish their famous meatball recipe. So this week I give you one of my most inspired, delectable recipes ever. IKEA meatball mushroom pan pizza. Look, if you haven't been introduced to pan pizza, you are missing out. This one has this Swedish meatball sauce and mozzarella cheese all the way to the crispy edges. It's a savory, delicious meatball and cremini mushroom pizza, perfect with a hoppy beer. IKEA Swedish meatball mushroom pan pizza. This recipe, you can get at tailgatehomegatenation.com or email me directly at tailgatehomegatenation@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Gentlemen, have a delicious college football weekend.
It's time for Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and lindysports.com. Lynn, crazy weekend. I feel like I open every weekend with you with those terms. It just seems crazy that we're talking about upsets and wild and crazy happenings in college football.
Well, it just keeps happening. In fact, one, my upset of the week last week on this show was Florida State, not to continue this, and Wake Forest, blows them out of the stadium. When's the days when Wake Forest will be blowing out Florida State? It's just it's a weird year. I think really the thing that sticks out to me, Graham, I think so far, is the fact that there are no invincible teams. You don't have anybody that you're sitting there saying they're going to run away with everything. I mean, Alabama gets a 21-3 lead on Florida, almost loses the game. If that 2-point conversion pass is complete, you go into overtime. You got Clemson. It kind of reflects on how you're looking at Georgia. Georgia couldn't score an offensive touchdown on Clemson. They did win the game. Clemson almost loses to Georgia Tech. Certainly you can come in as a powerful, undefeated team. I know sometimes comparative scores will kind of trick you up, but, I really think you've got some teams that, you may have in the Big Ten. You might have Iowa and Penn State as your two best teams in those two divisions. That's not how it started out. And I think the strength of the Southeastern Conference, other people have got to be getting tired of it. But the SEC's got seven teams in this week's top 25, actually top 23, including five out of the seven teams in the Western Division. And then you throw in Georgia and Florida, and that doesn't even count LSU, that still certainly can't be written out of it. Kentucky, who still hasn't lost a ball game. And as powerful as the SEC has been over the years compared to other conferences, I'm not sure that it's ever had a higher position right now, three games into the season, where you've got that many teams that highly ranked. It's obviously dominating more than any other conference. That's really not close to them.
Go back to what you said, talking about, first of all, you're upset. Florida State now 0-3.
Yep.
Clemson struggling. Miami looks terrible. I mean, we've got blue bloods here that are really having a hard time. That's giving everybody hope, right?
Well, I think so. And I think realistically, they could do that. We talked about last week how many upsets there had been and near upsets. You had more upsets and near upsets this week. And I think it has to do with the transfer portal. I think it has to do with the fact that not every team's got to practice as much the last year or so because of the COVID situation. I think you're continue to have more a fallout from the equalization of scholarships and this type of thing. That's been going on for the last, 12, 15 years. But you've got players right now playing, we talked about Florida State. They lost to Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State's got players playing for them right now that 20 years ago would have been playing for Alabama and Auburn. And you've got that situation across the board in a lot of states. So I think it's just what football's become.
And then we have the situation, a couple of officiating choices, I'll use the term, that caught a lot of grief. And the sad part is those were SEC officials that made the mistakes.
Yeah, you know, the you get more and more criticism these days because every game's on television. All information is instantaneous. You can go back and you can review every single play and check every single thing on when things are missed. I'm not sure that they're missing them. Maybe they are, but I'm not sure they're missing them more so much these days as technology has got us to where we can see every move they make, and they're making calls. Of course, some of the things that they're missing are just rules violations, and they don't seem to have forgotten some of the rules. But, you know, I think there are a few people that would want to change jobs with these guys. I know I can, you know, I can be an armchair quarterback and I can write my columns and we can talk on the air about them, but I wouldn't want to switch jobs with them and let them be, you know, evaluating me doing this. I think replay does help. I hope we never take the human element out of officiating, but I think we probably, you know, you get every game, you get a few things overturned, and sometimes you get some big plays overturned. I know there's one this weekend, I don't remember which one it was, but this past weekend, when a touchdown was overturned, and it looked on initially you thought he had scored on the replay, he obviously had not. And that's just part of the game. And I think very few calls determine the outcome of the game. You do have some that do, but I think very few of them determine the outcome of the game.
Well, speaking of games, let's pick a few, and we'll start with the Notre Dame-Wisconsin game playing in Chicago.
I like Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin because of their defense. I was in State College and got to see Penn State against Auburn in person this past weekend. That's a good football team. And Wisconsin had a good defensive performance against Penn State, even though they lost. Notre Dame almost got beat at home by Toledo. I know it's not good to do comparative scores, but sometimes you can look at that and tell. I'll be surprised if Wisconsin does not win that football game.
A game of ranked teams: Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and this one I'm afraid might end up being kind of a mismatch. I take Oklahoma State in that ball game, and not only I think they play at home, don't they?
Yes.
But that's not really the only reason why. We've got three people, three players on the starting Oklahoma State defense that made our preseason All Big 12 defensive team. The Kansas State does not have that. Kansas State had the good game against Stanford, but I don't know how much it was noticed. But Oklahoma State played up at Boise State this weekend and beat Boise State, came from behind to do it, and Boise State did not even score on their own blue turf in the second half and didn't even get 100 yards total offense. And if they can do that at Boise State, I suspect they'll beat Kansas State at home.
All right, how about LSU-Mississippi State?
I'm going to take LSU, but it's a very shaky pick. You know, the one that loses this ball game has got a possibility of finishing really low in the division, but I'm going to take LSU to go on the road and win that one.
All right, the big one in Texas, Arkansas at Texas A&M.
I like Arkansas to win the game. Texas A&M has had the quarterback injury, but Arkansas has looked like the better team to me. You know, they won real convincingly over Texas, and A&M had a tough time with Colorado that got beat real bad the next week. I think Sam Pittman's got them going in the right direction. I'm taking Arkansas.
And then you're upset. Who you got?
It's kind of the home cooking here, but I'm taking UAB. They have a big game next week opening up their new stadium. I think they're going to tune up for that against Tulane. I'm going to take UAB, who's about a 6-point underdog, to beat the Green Wave.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.